To me, it was just like what we do on Simchat Torah. First we dance and rejoice, and then stop all at once and say Yizkor, in memory of those who are no longer with us. I thought that just as we can shift between mourning and joy and connect them to one another on Simchat Torah, we should be able to do the same with Memorial Day and Independence Day. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 207, Celebration and Commemoration. In 1949, I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a holiday and of sending portions of food one to another. And Mordechai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish this among them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordechai had written unto them, because Haman the son of Hamdata, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast a pur, that is, a lottery, to consume them and to destroy them. It is one of the striking features of the Jewish calendar. Purim, the remembrance of the salvation of the Jews described in the book of Esther, is celebrated twice on two consecutive days. As described in Esther, throughout much of the original Persian kingdom, Jews celebrated their salvation from the forces of Haman on the 14th of Adar, and this is the date for Purim throughout much of the Jewish world. But in the Persian capital, Shushan, Esther and her fellow Jews celebrated on the next day, the 15th, and in commemoration of this celebration, Purim is held on the 15th to this day in cities that had walls in ancient times, walls from the time of Joshua. Jerusalem, of course, is such a city, and therefore, while much of Israel today marks Purim on the 14th, in Jerusalem the celebration is the next day. But it was in the years 1949 to 1967 that Jews were cut off from the ancient city of Jerusalem, and it was decisions made about celebrations and solemn commemorations during this period that truly reflect special symbolisms about the nascent state. According to the Talmud, the law that walled cities mark Purim on the 15th of Adar, on the later day, applies not only to those living within the walls of the city, but also those that are near the city. These Jews are considered extensions of the city's population as far as Purim observance is concerned. As Rabbi David Brofsky of Yeshivat Har Etzion describes in an article, it was in 1949 that a question was raised to Chief Rabbi Herzog, whether, with the original ancient walled city shut off from Jews, those living in West Jerusalem were still considered linked to the ancient site, or whether these Jews were now considered residents of a non-walled city and would mark Purim on the 14th. It was resolutely decided by all rabbis of Jerusalem to continue to mark Purim in Jerusalem on the 15th, marking West Jerusalem as an extension of the site of ancient Jerusalem, of the site of the ancient walled city. And while the technical aspects of the argument are interesting, for those focused on Jewish ritual requirements, today we must ponder the striking symbolism. If we remember Esther's celebration that took place in Shushan, in every ancient city that had walls in the biblical period, and if not only Jews within the walls of the city, but also outside them and near them, remember Esther's celebration, it is because walls are central to the drama of Esther's tale. Think about it. Esther was within the walls of the palace, or the palace complex, known as Shushan Habira, Shushan the Palace, or as some render it, Shushan the Fortress. The question facing Esther was whether she would think only of herself, or whether she would risk her life for her people that dwelled outside the walls in which she was ensconced. Our exaltation on Purim lies in our remembrance of a Jewish queen inside walls, remembering the Jews outside of them. And in 1949, Jews outside the walls of Jerusalem refused to forget the Jerusalem that was inside the site of the ancient city. They remembered the most sacred parts of Jerusalem, as well as the Jews throughout generations that had once lived there. Meanwhile, following Purim of 1949, another question of observance arose, one relating not to celebration, but to commemoration, sadness, and sacrifice. When should Memorial Day be held for those soldiers who had fallen in the recent War of Independence, the soldiers that had died in defense of the newborn state? Rabbi Shlomo Goren, then chief rabbi of the IDF, reports in his memoir that several proposed dates had been rejected, and suddenly Independence Day was coming up, and Memorial Day had not yet been observed. He writes, quote, "Thus, we had so many discussions of so many dates that almost a year had gone by since the declaration of the state, and we still had not set a date for Memorial Day. Thousands of soldiers had fallen in the War of Independence and in all the battles connected with Israel's liberation. Soon we would be celebrating Independence Day, and we still had not yet set a date for Memorial Day for the soldiers. 3 days before the first anniversary of Independence Day, I held an urgent meeting with Chief of Staff Yigal Yadin and told him that I had decided to set the day before Independence Day as Memorial Day, simply because we had no other options. At that time, I thought this would be a temporary date, until we decided on a different one. I asked Yadin to issue an order to the soldiers to this effect. About an hour later, the order was drafted and ready, and I took it from the Chief of Staff and ran to the Israel Radio studio so that the order could be broadcast. I was very surprised to find the studio empty, and the receptionist who was there told me that there was no one there to read out the announcement, and that they would only be arriving in a few hours. I immediately phoned my office. My brother-in-law, Rabbi Sharya Shuv Cohen, who was the rabbi of the Air Force, just happened to be there. I asked him to come right away to our office, which at that time was still in Ramat Gan, where Ben-Gurion had his headquarters during the War of Independence. He arrived, and the technician operated the broadcasting equipment while he read the order. It was a surprise for everyone, and that's how the date of Memorial Day for Israel's fallen soldiers was announced. The following morning, I went to see the Chief of Staff. I asked him to notify the person in charge of the sirens to sound the quote-unquote all-clear siren, and to issue a notice that the siren was in honor of our fallen. That was the first time we held Memorial Day ceremonies, in 1949, on the day before Independence Day. And that is the story of how Memorial Day was connected to Independence Day, and the reason for the sounding of the siren on Memorial Day. At that time, I felt it was justified. To me, it was just like what we do on Simchat Torah. First we dance and rejoice, and then stop all at once and say Yizkor, in memory of those who are no longer with us. I thought that just as we can shift between mourning and joy, and connect them to one another on Simchat Torah, we should be able to do the same with Memorial Day and Independence Day. At that time, I had no idea that this format would become permanent as part of the official Israeli calendar." End quote. Thus did Rabbi Goren, in a very sudden, off-the-cuff manner, set up commemoration preceding celebration. Purim was a day, as the Book of Esther described, that had reversed from mourning to joy. And, in the month of Iyar, both a day of mourning and a day of joy, one preceding the other, had been established and observed. Here we find something striking and profound. According to Rabbi Goren, the Memorial Day of Israel, as preceding Independence Day, came about in an unintended manner. And this is why to this day Israelis hold their Memorial Day commemorations on the day before Independence Day celebrations. In this ad hoc decision was born the stunning image in Israel today of those on highways suddenly stopping their cars, thousands of them, travelers standing at the roadsides, and all heads suddenly bowing in commemoration. Without much planning, one of the most incredible aspects of Israel's civic calendar came into being, the joining of Memorial Day and Independence Day, so that, as we have mentioned in the past, those assembled in Israel's cemeteries, facing the terrible loss of loved ones, do so in the knowledge that it was the sacrifice of their beloved family members that made the next day's marking of independence possible. And because the mourning precedes the celebration, the rejoicing on Independence Day is undertaken with a sense of profound debt of gratitude owed to those that fell in battle. A true parallel to Lincoln's reflection at Gettysburg, that those living have to remember those that fell and then dedicate themselves to the work, as Lincoln put it, that they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. So that, to paraphrase Lincoln, those remembering the honored dead take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. Thus did post-independence Israel make several decisions in sadness and in joy about Purim and Memorial Day that reflected the country that it was, the country that it would be. A country that would never forget ancient Jerusalem. A country that would never forget those that had died. A country that would allow memory to motivate it and to guide it. A country whose future would be in connection with its past. The establishment of Memorial Day in this ad hoc manner may make it seem like an accident, but Purim reminds us that it was not an accident. For the story of Esther tells us how a date chosen by a pur, a lottery performed by Haman, ended up producing a date foreordained by Providence for Jewish salvation. On Purim, we are asked to look at dates and at events and see the hand of God. And we, in turn, today can look at how the solemnity and profundity of Memorial Day came about and see the hand of Providence, which endowed the Israeli calendar with twin days of commemoration and celebration, thereby endowing both Jewish mourning and joy with such depth. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.